Good morning, everybody. And thank you, Alice and Dareth and Philippa, for that lovely way of delivering the reading. This reading is so special. You know, it tells us everything. It's there. It's dictated. And I just want to just pray quickly. Father God, open up all our ears so as you can hear the word that I'm going to deliver. Lord, just make understanding and bring your spirit into this space. Thank you, Father. Amen. Right, so I'm going to start with Revelations. It's there. Revelations 1. We're told by Brother John. Brother John tells us that he has seen the revelation and read and heard the scripture. All will be blessed. Scripture foretells the return of Christ, how he will return in splendor and glory. That's in verse 7 of Revelations, which reads, "Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So it shall be." And an amen. My image of Christ has always been that of a warm, comforting Lamb of God, the picture we have at Christmas, a fluffy, gentle, meek and mild Christ. I see the image of Christ as a child, as the child that is born weak and defenseless. I see the child born to Mary. But I have to be reminded that on his return, he's going to be momentous. He's going to be absolutely enormous. I don't know. I have no actual image, but I know that he's coming in his glory and he's coming in with strength. So in Matthew 24:7, we're reminded that his return will be that momentous occasion. And it says, "For as lightning that it comes from the east and is visible in the west, it will be a sudden occurrence. No one will know the time of this happening. Just be assured it will be a happening. Scripture will be fulfilled." Why? Because Christ our God came to earth, performed miraculous things, and instructed us a way of life, which can give us ultimate peace and joy. Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonians, chapter 4, "Living to Please God." Paul had already told the church in chapter 2 that his word had authority and was a trusted source of wisdom. We are not here to please each other, but to witness for God. The truth that is the word can be trusted and believed. We only want to live and please God. In Hebrews chapter 13, 1-3, "Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it." The message in Hebrews is of vital importance, because we're reminded once again to have empathy with those we encounter. Never make money your final objective, because we have been told that God will never leave or forsake us. So why build an empire on worldly goods? Why do we view extravagance and grandeur as desirable? Why do so many people today seek TikTok influencing as a way forward? Recording and accounting every move, every meal prepared, every outing, witnessing our every encounter, documenting our entire lives. To what end? How can we be fulfilled when each moment is being recorded and preserved in the cloud? We concentrate on orchestrating those precious moments to be uploaded and sent to those we believe are interested in our mundane existence. The one who is truly interested and committed to our existence is Christ God. Christ invested his time, his life, his love in us, so as we can experience joy. Hebrews 13:6, "The Lord is my helper." The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. what can man do to me? As in verse 15, we're told, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name, verse 16. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. These sacrifices pleases God. Those tiny acts of kindness performed effortlessly are the ones that God will witness. Hold dear and document for our salvation those random acts of humility when we put others before ourselves. Those acts of compassion when needs are balanced and we instantly see Christ reflected in the hearts of others. Being able to set our own needs, desires, and wants to one side, appreciate the worth of others, disregarding how they look or who we might perceive them to be. I was reminded when I was preparing this sermon how one day when I was in Lidl, I'm always in Lidl, it just seems to be my, you know, escape from my bubble. And whilst I was standing in the queue waiting for the self-serve, there was a youngster, and my daughter will tell me I have to describe a youngster with an age. I'm going to say the person was about 13, 14. And was standing in front of me. We were both waiting for the cash till. A chap from behind came forward, and both myself and the youngster ushered him in front of us. As he was heading towards the till, his 15-kilo washing powder fell on the child's foot. He apologised, but as this happened, the shop assistant walked over and said, "She shouldn't be in this shop because she's been barred, because she's a thief." I stood there in disgust because, like, he did apologise, and the shop worker made this comment. And to me, it sounded like, well, they have no right to be in the shop. So I then said, "Is that justified? You know, why are we having to..." I couldn't contain myself, my disgust with his rant. And I asked whether his comment made it okay, justified that this washing powder should fall on this person's foot, on the toe. Her toes and broken, didn't require an apology. So that what I'm trying to say is, there we, as soon as the chap had told me that the child had been a thief, even I was thinking, oh, right, okay. But then I was brought back, and I'm just so grateful that I was brought back to say, is it right for us to sit there and judge this young person? So imagine Christ witnessing this appalling discrimination and violation of a person's rights. In Scripture, we're told that everyone who encounters Jesus has had a right to share with his time and his presence. The woman who had been bleeding, the Samaritan woman at the well, and the paralytic man from Capernaum all had a right to be heard and to witness. Christ will come again in his glory. Philippians 3. We look for the prize ahead, the promise of his return. We stand prepared, for the story has been told, witnessed, and documented. We will be called righteous if we display his love. Christ died, rose, and will return. Amen.